Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all on Father's Day. So today, you know, we honor fathers that are in this house, and you know, fathers everywhere, and even for those that are fathers that are late, we honor them and their contribution. Fathers are important because there is nothing more powerful than the affirmation of a father. You will find that if the mother's at the sporting event, that's great. But as soon as the father arrives, it gives an extra boost of energy to the child because they're excited, they got to perform. I need to make sure that I perform well for my dad, you know. And so that's a really good thing. And, you know, we just honor fathers and men. Because sometimes men get a battering. You know, I really don't like shows that depict men as useless, as they can't do much. And so I tend to not watch those types of shows, you know. But, you know, what I would like to do today is to sort of like walk you through my own journey. And then we'll sort of like talk about the strength of a father and how fathers can help their children thrive. And so my father, you know, was a good guy, you know. And as I've got older, I've tended to be a bit more kinder to him than perhaps when I was younger. Yeah. You know, my critique of him when I was younger was very severe. But now as I've got older, I think I've mellowed a bit in my critique of him because I realize that it's not necessarily easy being a father. You know, he was a great provider. He loved his children, all 26, you know. Yeah, 26 children. I wouldn't joke up here, you know. Yeah, so 26 children. And he provided for all of them, took them to school, you know, clothed them, fed them, looked after some of them had different mothers, of course, you know, and he looked after the mothers, even though they perhaps were not together. And so in doing all that great stuff, you know, one of the things that he didn't have, no emotional love, you know, or telling kids that he loved them, that he couldn't do. You know, no matter, unless, of course, you performed well. So if you performed well at school and you're doing great, you would get the performance-based affection. You know, the well done and the great affirmation, the love and all that, you'd get it. But I did not perform well at school. So I never got the lion's share of that, you know, of that fatherly affection. And there was never those words of affirming and telling you that, you know, you can do anything. And I recall a time where we're in his office. You know, in his office, I had two of my sisters and three cousin sisters as well was there. And so he began to talk to everybody and say to one of the sisters, you are going to go to the UN and you're going to do fantastic things. And so he went down the line to the three girls and just affirmed them that they were going to do great things. And he didn't say anything about me. You know, and so whether that was, I don't know, you know, you never understand why somebody would do that. But it leaves a hole in your life thinking, what did you ever think that I could become? You know, and so we didn't have that. You know, I cringed at the word dad. You know, people would laugh, you know, they would call him dad, dad. I couldn't do it, you know. I could not, that word was just like it's a revolting word to me. And for a while when I had my own children, even that, them saying dad to me was just like, ooh, please don't, you know. And so I recall a time I was sitting on the couch. This is probably now 10 years ago, Mandla was about six. We're in Port Hedland. And so I'm sitting on the couch, and he came. In fact, let me say, I hate green frogs. You know, and this will be a perfect illustration for what I'm about to say. You know, green frogs, you know, those little green things, don't like them, you know. And I'm scared of them, actually. And so he came, I'm sitting there with my arms, you know, on the couch, just relaxing, watching some TV show. And he came and put his head on my chest. And every fiber within my body was, get this thing off me. You know, it was like a frog that was sitting on my chest. And I was like, could you please take it off? Because not growing up in a family where there was hugs and affection, that was so foreign. Now, of course, I didn't necessarily verbalize that to him. But it was just like my whole body was convulsing on the inside, saying, this is so ridiculously off-putting for me, and I'm so uncomfortable with what you're doing. But I never sort of like said anything. But eventually, and thankfully, he got off. And the problem, though, I guess, is that growing up like that, you know, and I'm saying my father was a great provider, did all those kind of things, is that when it then came, and a situation as well where my parents were never together, and so I stayed with my maternal family. And so my father would come every so often, and there'd be times where he would say, I'll come. Maybe he doesn't come because he's busy or whatever. But as a child, you don't understand. You know, you wait anxiously for your parent to come and see you. You're super excited that your father has come to see you. And even though I had male figures, I had my grandfather, it's a bit different, you know. He's not my father, you know. And so then you move that relationship when it comes to God the Father. And now what I would then do is that I then began to reflect my relationship with my earthly father to my heavenly father. And so I was quite all right. You know, I loved Jesus Christ. I was cool with him. I was in a great relationship with him. Holy Spirit, didn't have a problem with him. But I did have a problem with God the Father. Because, you see, there was a thing where you couldn't trust. I just couldn't trust to say that, to even say God the Father, is he going to come through for me? You know, is he going to expect me to do things like my earthly father? And so it was very difficult to accept God's love. So everything became performance-based. So I had to read my Bible, you know. And so when I read my Bible, I think, tick, you know, that's good, and I got to pray. And so whilst all those things are important, they should never be done out of compulsion or out of trying to please. It should just become a natural thing that you do in your life, and you don't get any ticks for those types of things. But for me, it was more, yeah, I would only accept God the Father if I did something. So if I performed well, then I think, yeah, no, he's cool with me. The problem with that type of thinking is that when you don't perform well, you are really down on yourself. And so I guess this is the, how we relate fathers to our children is really important about how our children are going to relate with God. Because what happens, you see, is that we then make it very difficult. They would still relate well with God, except that they're going to have to jump through many hurdles to be able to have that nice, loving, smooth, cool relationship with him. But when it's performance-based, they would relate to you, they would relate to God the Father as they would their earthly father. And for me, it took me many years, you know, where I would always be thinking, you know, when you pray for something, and at the back of mind, you're thinking, ooh, is he really going to do it? Is he really going to do it? Because somehow you feel like he's going to let you down, just as sometimes your earthly father would. And sometimes even the male authorities in my life, you know, the people that are supposed to spur you on and supposed to encourage you, those father figures, they let you down. You know, they had this thing, you know, in my age when I was growing up, is that it was all about, you know, you have to be a man. You know, you have to be a man, and you're weak. If you don't show emotion, you're a weakling. There's something wrong with you. And so, and also, you had to make the, you know, growing up, the uncles would be like, well, you need to be able to have many relationships. And so I was called many things by my uncles. I was called a toothless bulldog because perhaps I wouldn't have, you know, those types of relationships, you know. And so I think after a while, that begins to affect how you view the male figure, about what it is to be a man, you know. And of course, to make it worse, if you know, like, men have got facial hair. I don't necessarily have that, a lot of facial hair. And that's the one thing I'm going to ask the Lord, what is the purpose of facial hair? You know, and I remember some guy said to me, he says, oh, you're not a man yet because you don't have a mustache. And I said, look, I don't derive my manhood from having a mustache, you know, because it's just silly the way that, but that's a conditioning that we've been taught to have about what it is to be a man. And so when you reflect the way that you related with your father unto God, it made my relationship with him very difficult. That God the Father part, I just, like I said that, you know, and I say this in jest, that Jesus Christ had no issue because he's a brother, he's a Lord, and he's a Savior. Holy Spirit, you know, he's going to teach me all things, but just that element of who God is, God the Father, I cringed, you know, and I struggled for many years. I'm 43 now, for possibly after my 20s, for 15 odd years, I struggled, you know, and it's possibly I feel that in my life, the freedom to be really happy with God the Father started to happen probably in the last 5-6 years, where I just feel I'm at ease and I love him and that he's the best and all of that. But before, it was hard. And I feel sorry for my children, especially the three older ones, because, in fact, the older one, he would have struggled, because being a father was just like, oh, it was very difficult, and the showing of the emotion. And so my children, you know, as children are different. They all love hugs, especially my daughters. They love hugs, and I'm not a hugger, you know. And so that, and even with my son, and so what I would do is that to make sure that I keep, you know, I keep, instead of hugging, like, at night, I just headbutt, you know, because that's my hug, you know. Yes, you know, and so, but that's a connection. At least you know that, look, my father never hugged me, but we always butted heads, you know. You see, I soon began to realize that God is a father, a good father. And it wasn't foreign, it wasn't weird anymore to relate to God as my father. You know, in Exodus 34, verse 6 to 7, it says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And so when I begin to discover and to begin to trust God as the Father, that he'll provide for me, that I don't have to sort of like have all the answers, whereas before it was difficult, very difficult, but I can say that how I was able to do that is that he began to work on my heart slowly but surely. Each and every time, God will never just expect you to unravel or to open the present all at once. It's a present that has got many wrappings on it. And so you come, so it's just layer after layer after layer that he begins to unravel the things in your life, and then you can begin to trust him. And I think that if you go on a journey where there has been a struggle with receiving God as the Father, is that it's actually a journey that you go on. And it's not something that I would encourage people to just, you know, you look under every rock to say, Lord, is there anything that you want to deal with me? When you are ready, he is going to begin to deal with those things that are going to help you to be able to relate well with him. So my encouragement is that he will do it in his timing, and it will always come at a time when you are ready to receive and ready to deal with those issues that you faced in your life. And a key thing is that God loves us just because. No performance, no nothing, just as you are, God loves you. And I think that it takes a while for us to just, you know, accept. It's like if I came and I gave you, you know, $1,000, the first thing you're going to say, if you're here in Australia, of course, you would say, oh, what the heck is this for? You know, and you'd be a bit uncomfortable. I don't know whether I'm going to accept this money, you know. And that is what it is that when God loves you, it's just, yeah, I love you. And there is no attachment to that love, just that, you know. And so how can we as fathers, when we've got this arduous task that we have to, that we have, this challenge, you know, how as fathers can we engage with our kids so that they can thrive? And the question that we should be asking is not, am I parenting the right way? The question we should be asking is that, am I the adult you want your children to grow up to be? You see, there's something we get from a father, a certain swagger. Now, my father, I mean, he was, Israel Magwenzi was his name. I just wanted to be like him. I can understand when Christ says, I do as my father does. You know, I can understand that because there's just, I just wanted, whether it was the talk, I tried to imitate the talk, try to imitate the walk, I tried to imitate the laugh, you know, the dressing. I mean, he was just the swagger, you know. You try to imitate, you know, you see him and you think he's so cool. You just want, I wanted to be like him. And this is what fathers do, is that our children, we give something to our kids that they cannot get. And mothers are great, you know. But there is something that a father gives. You know, both my parents are late. And between the two of them, I think more of my father than I do about my mother. Wow. Not that she was a bad person, you know, and not that I had a super close relationship with my father. But there is just something about him that even if I have, since he passed away nearly 11 years ago, I dream of him more than I dream about my mother. And there's just something that, you know, I wish, oh man, I just wish he was alive, you could see me, you know, that I'm not too bad, you know, after all. And so to help our children thrive as fathers, we have to teach them to be strong. Life is about change and challenge, risk and growth. You see, our children can't be fully alive and learn what they need to learn as growing humans without the benefit of risk. Because risk gives children critical skills, including risk assessment, dexterity, resilience, and social savvy, how to interact with other people. They learn assertiveness from their father, learning to fight for yourself without going over the top. We were at an airport in Sydney, at Sydney Airport, probably 5 years ago. And there were two lines. You know, once you collect your bags, you got to go through customs to declare or not to declare. So there were two lines. And so I decided to, there was a long line and a short line. So I decided to join the short line. And one person came and just started going off at me. Like they went absolutely off. You're pushing in, you're this and that. And so I sort of like said, well, hold on. There's many people in front of me, and you want to come to me. And so I began to just sort of say, look, I'm not going to stand up for that nonsense. My poor wife was probably 20 meters away, running from the conflict, whereas I'm engaging because I was more saying that I'm not going to allow my kids to see me being put down without standing up for myself. So I didn't go over the top. I didn't sort of like say you this, that, to that person. It was just, no, I will not accept what you're saying. I'm okay to go in the line, except there were two lines. So when they see that assertiveness, without going over the, you know, over the edge. They get that from their dads, that they got to stand up. You know, my wife is the softer. I tend to be the harder of. And so you know that in the, whenever they come into the bedroom, you know which side they're going to. They're not coming to my side. They'll always go, you know, they'll always go to their mother's side. And so what we want to be as fathers, you know, I growing up in an era where it was about, oh, you know, you can't be a toothless bulldog. You've got to do this and that. You've got to have many women and all of that. That's not what we want to teach our children. When we say we teach them to be strong, our focus should be on character development. You know, developing their characters and not giving in. When we see an intervention where their character is showing some chinks in that armor, we will sit on them up until and have discussions with them about that character, because that's more important than anything else. Because without that character development, we are going to be raising up kids that will just run rampant, you know. So character development is something that, as fathers, that's what we instill in our children. As fathers, we need to cultivate their problem-solving skills. You know, of course, Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So when children have issues, you know, they've got issues, they're arguing and carrying on, sometimes they want you to come and solve their problems. I sort of like say, nope, please, both of you, out of here. Now, if it is an issue beyond their current capacity, then of course we sit down, we talk to them, but they don't need to run to me every time they have a squabble with their siblings, you know. I don't need to solve every issue for them. Knowing when to help and when to hold back is a skill that every father should have. You know, our goal is to get them to launch and to help them build the capacity to live both an independent and collaborative existence. Let them figure it out for themselves. And this is where we'll start to bring in the scripture, to say, this is what this scripture says. This is what it means. You know, when we talk about laziness in our home, we open up Proverbs. Look at the ant, you sluggard. You know, where they're talking about they not, you know, about poverty, about a poverty mindset. We say, you see, if you play now, you know, play now, you will cry later. And so we begin to teach them to understand the mind of God through the word of God so that they can begin to solve problems all by themselves. My father never, you know, he made you solve your own problems. And that's a skill that we need to be able to teach our kids. You know, we need to coach them in the art of problem solving. And the reality of life, you see, is that people who get well paid, they're well paid for solving problems. Not the ones that get the A's in school, although those are great. We want A's in school, or B's, C's. I don't know about C's. But no, but we want them to do their best. And what I've come to learn as a father is to say to them, you are competing against yourself. So if this is the best that you can do, and you can say hand on heart, you know what, I gave it my best shot, then I'm okay with that. Because if you can live with your results, so should I, you know. What we want to do is to nourish their curiosity. Kids are naturally curious. They want to learn and to grow and develop. So we need to not stymie or not to, you know, diminish their natural curiosity. You see, how a child handles the conflict between feelings of curiosity and feelings of anxiety will determine how they feel about themselves and what they do with their lives, you know. Do they strive towards their dreams and aspirations or work hard to avoid failing and making mistakes? You'll get that one, oh, I'm not feeling well today because they, you know, they're anxious about something at school. And so you sit down with them and say, no. You got to face your fears now, otherwise you'll be running forever. That's what I say to them, without, you know, no fluff, just kids, but in a nice, in the way that I can muster, you know. But we want, Pastor Nigel, I think a month ago, spoke and said something, maybe 5 weeks ago. It says, the more we grow in the things of the Lord, we need to get sweeter. And I remember writing to him the next day, and I said, oh, man, that was super powerful, you know, that statement. And so, and I'll just say this. You know, whenever you give feedback, give specific feedback, not generalized feedback. Oh, that was great. No. And I gave him specific feedback, and I said, you know what? I feel that as I grow older in the things of the Lord, I'm getting bitter and bitter. But that shouldn't be the posture. And as fathers, you know, and as men, sometimes as we get older, it's either we get crankier, you know, or we get softer. And I think that we should always err on the side of getting softer. And I certainly hope that I was a real hard rock with Mandla, and then no, water couldn't get through me. And then with the next child, that softened me up a bit. Now with this other little one, I'm super soft, you know. But if you wanted me to be like jelly, you know, then maybe if Unami has another child, then, you know. But that'll never happen, you know, I don't think. And lastly, as fathers, to get our kids to thrive, let's let them chase their dreams. You know. Now, this is based on the resources that you have. You're not going to break the bank, you know, because everything is done within reason. With what your resources will allow you to do, get your kids to pursue their dreams. You see, for a lot of us, when we were growing up, we were corralled into one way of thinking. Go to school, do this, do that, you know. Growing up, for us, to go and be a tradesperson was seen as a failure in Zimbabwe. A musician, like you would have kids that would go overseas to study, then they would come back with a guitar, you know, because they were now a musician. And that was not viewed very positively in the community. But we work hard. We get to this stage in our lives so that our children can pursue their dreams. Let them be what God has wired them to be. And so whatever God has wired your child to be, it is the responsibility, of course, as both parents, but most importantly of a father. And I could just get the team back up, please. But most importantly of the father, to identify the giftings and the leanings of their children and begin to encourage them in the bent that they have. Because as we do that, we are going to have children that will thrive. Yeah. And so this morning, just as we, you know, as we finish and the band begins to play, God is, as I've, you know, grown to understand, is that God is trustworthy, that God is loving, and that irrespective of how our relationship was with our earthly father, God is not like our earthly father. God is so different in that he just loves us so much. And as we heard, is that he sought us out. You know, that for God so loved us that he sent his only son to die for us so that we could come into relationship with him. And my encouragement to fathers and to all of us, especially to fathers, is that we have to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling. You know, I get angry. You know, I lash out very easily. I know that I lashed out very easily. I know that for a while with my children, it was all about their performance. You know, I had one child who got an academic award and I'd be very, very happy. And the other child ran home when they got home and came and showed me a certificate of attendance. you know. And I said, these are not the certificates we want, you know. We, you know, whilst the certificate of attendance is great, it's not the certificate I want to see. I want to see best in English or maths. But now I'm mellowing. They will still think I'm hard, you know. But God has worked on my heart and continues. And I'll be honest that he's got a long way to go. You know. And just that thing about being sweeter is something that would encourage us as fathers, is that somehow each and every day we have to be sweeter with our children, with our wives, with our families.